Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Today we're continuing our discussion on intuition and taking calls for on-air readings. We've got some callers in the queue, so we're going to be getting to those callers shortly, actually momentarily, but want to invite the callers and listeners to join us here on Blog Talk Radio and on Facebook. Please do follow us. We would really appreciate it if you did, or send us a friend request. There's two sites, Neil Baker Psychic, Neil and Kristen Baker, and, of course, again, Blog Talk Radio, and I think Twitter, too, which we don't go on too much, but I think we do get some, we do connect with some of you on that site as well. So all of those sites are great. 914-338-0164 is the call-in number. So if you are calling today, please press 1 to let us know that you would like to speak with us. And the number for further conversation, 562-596-7818. All right. 203 area code is our first caller. Hi.
Hi, this is Pat.
Oh, hi, Pat.
Hi, 712. You know you've got such an amazing memory, but 712-53.
And you're a 28101, right?
Oh, that I don't remember. I think
yeah,
so, yes.
You are. You are. I just looked quickly. That's addition I can do quickly in my head, the way it's arranged. Sometimes it takes a little bit more effort. How are you?
I'm sort of coming out of the end of a struggle, which may have been bigger than I realized. I'm getting myself off all medication for depression and anxiety. The last one was Klonopin, because I thought it was making me sleep like a zombie, about 12 hours a day. I take very little, but I'm beginning to think it has far more far-reaching effects on me and my life. It may have even completely taken my life away. I don't know. I'm just beginning to feel, a bit of a cloud lifting.
So what were you on? That's anti-anxiety. Were there antidepressants you were taking too?
I got myself off that because that was making me anxious a number of months ago, so I went through that withdrawal. And then I started with weaning myself off this about 3 weeks ago. Maybe a little too fast, I don't know, but because I had some really bad withdrawal.
Trouble sleeping and things like that?
No, it makes the anxiety worse. And, the first few days, it really was like an addict with my body just constantly squirming and stuff, but mainly making the anxiety worse through the withdrawal.
And are you off the medication totally now?
I'm taking about an eighth of a tab each day.
An eighth of a tab.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so today what's your question? I mean, is it regarding the medications or?
No, it's again, if you can see what's ahead of me, that's been such a struggle with everything, work and so on, and housing and, just if you see
currently, what are you doing? What's going on with work? Because, I mean, this is kind of a recurring theme with work and housing.
Absolutely.
For you.
And once again, I was hired back to this dog walking job. And then the day before they canceled it, the son is having a hard time. So he comes home when he has a psychotic break and then they have to protect him and, keep everyone away. So I was hired back and then dropped again. So it's back and forth like that a lot.
Okay, so now you're currently not working anywhere?
Or no, I'm working a few jobs. Yeah, a few jobs. Pay the bills and food. That's what that
yeah,
is.
It's hard to hear you, Pat. I know Neil's struggling here. If you could, are you on speaker?
Yes, let me get that off. Is that any better?
A little. A little bit better. Just talk right into your receiver.
Okay.
And so, but the current, you're not working for this person currently because the son's home?
No. No.
But I remember that. You're telling us.
Yeah,
that.
When he had another bad break, I guess, so they're evaluating him this week. It sounds like possibly they might call me back soon, but I don't know.
Right, so it's not really consistent because of the fact that the son is not well, but she's working two other jobs. She pieces things together with her jobs, you know, because
she's
like an independent contractor. Yeah.
Well, Pat, first of all, we are not able to give medical advice, so we're not giving medical advice. We're not doing that.
Oh, I
understand. It's against the law, and we're not doing that. But what we can do is just talk and gab and stuff like that and give you what our psychic take is on things.
Yeah.
I think you're – okay, so the psychic take on it, it's not the medical take, but the psychic take is that your body's trying to – your body's resisting a lot of these medications because your body's saying, no, 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 that's not what we want. And your body's probably saying, we just want to be healthy. We don't need the meds. Now, that doesn't say to go off them. You've got to follow your doctor's advice, and you have to follow your own intuition and your own level of what comfort is. But if your body's rejecting something, our psychic interpretation is the body's probably saying, you know what, in the best of worlds, we don't need anything. We want to just live on our own valuable, healthy energy.
Yes.
Now, maybe there is a formula or a pill or a prescription or a dosage that will work for you. We're not saying that. And there may be a happy medium here. But in the terminology of psychic energy, and do not go off any med. You follow your doctor's advice. That's what we're emphasizing. But in the terminology of psychic energy, there's also a healthy way of saying it would be great if you were healthy enough and sound and secure enough to get off your meds.
Yep.
And that would be a discussion you would hold with your doctor. But we're saying that there's an energy field that seems to be beckoning to you that says there's going to be an equilibrium, there's going to be a balance in your life, it's going to happen. And I don't know, maybe part of this is right now your struggle, and maybe it's rooted to emotions, maybe it's just not the DNA of your body, maybe it's the chemistry of your emotional upbringing that contributed to your certain conditions. And now your son is, you know, having his complications and trials and challenges. So what we're suggesting is that what?
I missed something, but go ahead.
Well,
sorry.
What we're suggesting is that that you're piecing together two jobs. Well, you are compounded. If you can move forward and think really hard, deliberately, calmly, rationally about what medication, what dosage is going to work for you instead of freaking out over what's happening. If you can just settle down and find that minute prescription that might maintain you, our ideas are that this may start to level out your immediate external world, whereby things start to settle down and become more balanced. And you will find that, my God, this I can tolerate, and above that, I can enjoy.
So, do we ask her if her doctor? Does your doctor know that you're weaning off the medication?
Oh yes, and I'm almost done, and I'm happy with the progress actually. And actually, I guess my question was, do you? And you're sort of saying it. I'm hoping that it affected my life more than I realized, and I'm going to find motivation and energy and enthusiasm and all those things that I was without for so long, thinking it was me, I'm beginning to think it was the medication. So
well,
I'm hopeful.
Neil said. Well, go ahead.
I'm hopeful that I'll get more of my life back that I eat more than I even expected.
Well, as Neil was saying, we're not doctors, so we can't, you know.
I understand.
Give medical advice, but as far as those medications are concerned, as far as my understanding goes, they can really impact your life, especially if you're taking them on a daily basis.
Yeah,
I really think they can affect mood. And
yeah, your discussion with your doctor has to be personal and between you and your doctor. You're calling our show for a psychic approach to the.
That's right. That's right.
Factor your whole total evaluation, and we do see a good outcome. I would say that as you release the medications, and find that happy, basic place foundation. You release the emotions. I don't know.
Right.
There might be some collected data in your brain. Wait a minute. There might be some collected data in your brain that is still holding on to emotional intensities that you don't really need at this age anymore. So if there's anything left undone in terms of evacuating your psyche with memories and feelings and all kinds of pain or abuse, do so.
Right.
It's this thing you can do on your own.
Is the doctor prescribing the medication, the clonopin, a psychiatrist, or is it your primary care?
It was my primary care, yeah.
Primary care. And do you go to therapy? Is there a therapist that you see?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
So there's the process she's going through in order to release the emotions. That's what I was curious about. Because psychiatrists, a lot of times psychiatrists will prescribe medications like that, and there's usually not a lot of talk therapy.
You know, Pat, we don't want to be too loosey-goosey here about, you know, being overly optimistic and the world is a pretty, you know, everything's great and, you know, Louis Armstrong singing, everything's beautiful in the background. We're not suggesting that. What we're saying that your path is a deliberately sound karmic journey that you're on. And the release of this is probably pertinent to even what your age is. You know, you're coming, you're 63, I imagine.
64.
You calculate, maybe 64.
Can you imagine?
well, John Lennon imagined. Yeah. I don't know if it did him any good, but he imagined anyway.
I think there's a little bit more concrete evidence for age than just imagining.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Well, but you see, the thing is that you're coming to an age, 64, that equates to your master number of 10, ultimately 10. And this long journey you've taken throughout your life path may karmically in this linear lifetime be coming to a close of negative karma, negative energies you have to go through.
I'm really hoping for that. I really, really am. I'd love to tell you that my son just had a baby last Friday, and he is stepping up, and he's just coming around so beautifully. I'm so proud and so pleased, and I'm being pulled into the family, so that's all wonderful.
Great. Good.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, things are coming around. You know, that's just it. You go through so many revolutions of life, and each one you go through, you hopefully you reduce your karma. You reduce your karma.
Yes.
Until you finally get to a place where, wow, it's dried up. Things are starting to look up. So this may turn into a nice family affair, you know, parenthood. And you may just, in spite of the roller coaster, be laughing at the end of all this.
Hope so. I'm really hoping so. Do you see my art improving, that becoming easier and, you know, more abundant? Good.
Yeah.
Good.
And I'll tell you
something. Help me.
Well, I'll tell you, your art will improve. And I'll tell you something. There's an old cliche because it was real popular about 20 years ago. Flower power. The energies of flowers. I would suggest you put a lot of flowers in your home.
Okay.
Do you like flowers? Or do you have allergies?
I do, and they're wonderful to paint, too. They're wonderful subject matter.
They're expensive, though, too, so she would have to maybe...
Yes, they are.
Well,
go to
a florist and put a chair down and say you're going to honor them with paint drawing pictures. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You can go outside and go to a park. Flowers.
Yeah.
The colors of flowers coming forth in your vision are going to be healthy.
Wonderful.
Okay, Pat.
I'm glad
well,
I connected
things
with you.
Are on the up and up for you.
I'm hoping so. Thank you both very much. God bless.
You're welcome. God bless
Bye-bye.
You too. And you know, I don't know if you, because I stepped away for just a second, but 63 is actually coded in her 1953. So hopefully things will continue to improve for her. We've been talking to Pat for like 6 years almost. We've been on
six
the air
years.
Almost 6 years. So I think she's one of the original callers that we have still with us.
Yeah.
Okay. So we can chat for a bit.
Well, we were talking about intuition.
We were talking about intuition. We kind of sidetracked on Friday, but we getting back to.
No, we could call intuition a gift. We could say it's a gift that nature or God or the angels or evolution has bestowed upon us, because it's not only the seat of being psychic, but it's the seat of survival. It's the seat
because
of,
it's connected
of
to the gut instinct.
Yeah, because of the instinct quality. And we have a caller, so we're going to 2 second lecture. Right. Okay.
313. We'll get back to it in a minute. Hi there.
Hi. How are you?
Hi. Fine. Thanks. Who's this?
Sherelle. Long time no speak, no hear.
That's right. Sherelle.
Yes. How are you both?
I love you all.
Y'all have great topics and great conversations. Y'all are good. Good
oh,
together.
I love
you.
I
no,
love
you say it every time.
Oh, Soldier Boy?
Ugh.
Was it Soldier Boy? Soldier
every
Boy?
Time. And he doesn't
Soldier
remember.
Soldier Boy. What you know about Soldier Boy?
Yeah.
What you know about Soldier Boy?
Yeah, it was one of my favorite songs, and my male friends made fun of me for liking it so much, because it was, you know, I liked the black female groups. I loved them. Anyways.
What's your favorite Soulja Boy song?
What'd
huh?
you say?
She says, "What's your favorite Soulja Boy song?" No, the my but it is
that
song.
Soulja Boy, you're
Soulja
my
Boy.
Little Soulja Boy.
By the Sherelle,
oh.
right? By the Sherelle.
Yeah.
By
and
the
now
Sherelle.
You know what I'm talking about. No, not Soulja Boy songs. You know, you know, Tripoli and all that. No, I'm not into that one.
But we do know some people that are.
Yeah, we do know a guy named
Tapper.
Yeah. Go ahead. So what's going on, Sherelle?
I was just like messages from the other side or what you may see coming up for me, movement, new car, money, any messages.
Any messages from the other side? We're having problems hearing today, but we always have problems hearing. She's wanting messages from the other side, perhaps, or what's happening in her physical reality coming up. Yeah, we need your birth date again, Sherelle. I don't have it in my memory, embarrassingly
That's
enough.
That's okay. 11/30/90.
Put a 9. Okay, 93. 3, 4, 5, 15.
Oh. You need
a 5. You know what? I wrote down a 9 because I was, I don't know if it was my memory or what, but I wrote down a 9 and you are a 9. So something in my brain remembered, I think. All right.
Remembered. Yeah.
You know, as far as the other side is concerned, first of all, a message. As far as the other side is concerned, I'm getting somebody talking about either a recollection about a car or getting a new car or something regarding an automobile, and the image becomes almost symbolic, but it's like somebody sleeping in the back seat. Now, that could be a spirit in the car. I'm not sure yet. So first of all, is there anything going on with the car currently?
Yes. My car has mechanical issues, and I'm looking to sell my car and get a new car.
Oh, so you're actively thinking about selling your car and getting a new car.
She mentioned car when she asked her question.
Oh,
but
she
did?
Yeah, I didn't hear.
She did.
Oh, mm-hmm. I didn't hear you say car. Trust me. I couldn't hear. This.
Oh,
your
no,
voice
okay.
is so low. I'm having
okay.
Kristen tell me.
Can you hear me?
Is
I'm a little louder? Okay.
So
I'm sorry. Maybe it's me.
That's better.
Okay.
That's
okay.
Much more clearer. But I didn't hear you say car before, so
no,
but I heard
fine.
A spirit say it. So
mm-hmm.
you wanting to now sell a car, your car and get a new car, there's somebody, I don't know who, there's some kind of energy over there on the other side coming through that's going to help you sell this car. And the car will then turn into a blessing. Kristen and I, we have this car, and it's been very good to us. It's an old car, but it's been very good to us, and we kind of think of it as a, you know, as an extended member of our family almost.
You speak for yourself.
Yeah, speak for myself.
No.
I mean, it's not really a living thing. But this, your car, there's something going on with the immediate message is that there's a spirit saying you're going to get your car sold and you're going to be happy with the car you have. Was there ever an incident where you slept in your car or a child slept in a car or a memory, anything like that? No. Okay, so it's just simply because I just saw, I think it's probably a spirit that's helping you. I think it's the formation of a spirit. But there's something, I don't know, it's really weird. Does your car, do you store anything in your car? Is your car completely neat so all the seats are, there's nothing in your car?
Oh, no, I got a lot of stuff in it. I'm looking to clean it out on the next nice day so I can get it going. Because I have a lot of people inboxing me on Facebook asking me, is it still available and everything. And I'm wanting to move. A lot of
stuff.
So
that's what it is. The baggage in the car, the contents inside the car is what I'm looking at. That it's got to be cleaned out. So you need to clean out your car. And maybe that might help you to get the energy going where it's going to be sold. But you're going to, that's basically the message. I don't know. It's not a deep discussion of a message, but it's at least something that's pertinent to your current interests. I am getting somebody named like Emily or Emma. There's an E sound.
Emily.
No, but you don't know anybody in your family background with an E? No.
They don't ring a bell just yet.
Not yet.
Emily.
It Emma. Seems to be an aunt. If it's anything, it's an aunt that is. Were you close to any aunts or anybody special?
No, not really.
You're 20. How old are you right now?
I'm 24.
What? 44.
24.
24.
She's going to be 25.
November.
Not,
you're three years away. I don't know. The only thing that I don't know what it is yet. There seems to be a female, you know, aside from this car, there seems to be a female energy on the other side, and I'm probably not hearing it very well, but there seems to be some vibrational input going on, and I'm probably, you know, the aunt or the Emily is probably not really what is being spoken.
There's a mistranslation. There's something.
I don't know what it is. It's kind of bothering me because it seems to be like something is at. Do you live in an apartment?
Yes, I do. I do live in an apartment.
Apartment. And do you have any doors, stuck doors, or a little closet that's filled with things?
Yes.
Okay, well, I don't know. We're tiptoeing through this, and it seems like that car got pulled over to the apartment. There's a closet stuffed with stuff. Now, does that mean that the door is also stuck, or anything with the door?
That the closet door?
Well, any door in your home, in your apartment.
Is it stuck?
Any doors that are warped that don't close right, or is it just that you have a closet filled with stuff and that's it?
Oh no. The doors don't close all the way in the closet.
They don't close all the way. Okay.
Not because it's full. Not because it's full.
But it's just there's a problem with the door. Closing because of the door itself.
Okay.
There's a problem with the door. So
there's no latch. No latch.
Apparently you have some spirit in your home. I don't know who it is. It's female. It would appear to me on the first line of interpretation that it's a female that's crossed over that you knew.
Mm-hmm. I'm your grandma.
I'm sorry?
What's your grandma's name?
Regina. Lele. I called her Lele.
Lele. Lele is, well...
I said Emily.
Emily Lay. I mean,
that, you know, I mean, we're like
stretching here.
Really, playing.
Yeah,
but I mean, the EL is an Emily, but Lee.
Well, let's just say, for the purpose of this short reading, that might be your grandma.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't really
know.
But
in my memory, just FYI, you don't remember, but probably Sherelle does. We've connected with the grandmother before on the show.
No, we have.
Haven't we?
Yeah, we have. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
Same grandmother or different grandmother?
The same one.
Okay.
Maybe.
You know, I don't recall.
I recall.
But,
I mean, vague recollection, but I...
Okay, so that's who may be there.
Because she usually asks to connect with spirit. People ask different things. You listen to the show, you know Sherelle, but, you know, she always asks for messages from spirit.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Well,
you know,
okay.
You don't.
Are you serious about selling your car?
Yes. See, what it is, I ain't going to take too much of y'all's time. Yeah, what it is that I'm just looking because my relationship is on the edge, and I was looking to sell my car, ship my things out, and move with my mom to Arizona. But I'm just so confused about what I want to do.
And you're thinking, what state are you in? Are you in the Midwest?
I'm in Detroit, Michigan.
Yeah, that's there.
You mean what you want to do as a
and
job?
And move to Arizona to move with her mom. Your mom lives in Arizona.
Yeah, she does. I'm talking about as far as movement. I don't know what I want to do because this relationship is kind of on edge.
It's all garbled, right?
Yeah.
Say, to just talk a little slower because it's difficult to hear.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
My relationship is on edge. And by me being 24, no kids, I just want my be able to have my freedom. I want to be free.
Yeah.
She's in a relationship.
No.
And you're in a relationship right now and that's not going well. How long have you been in the relationship?
Yes. 2 years.
2 years?
And she has kids.
And you have no
kids, yes.
Correct? No children?
No, he does, but I don't.
And you're thinking that the relationship may not... You don't live with him, do you?
Yes, we do, actually. That's
you live together?
Yes.
So essentially, you're a mom to those kids. How often does he have the kids?
No, not really. They don't come over like once a month.
Oh, wow. So he has kids, but he's not really very involved.
Do you want babies? Do you want to have kids?
I do, but I don't want to add to the family. I want to make my own family. I don't want to add to the family.
So you're not looking for a long-term relationship with this guy anyway because he's got kids and that doesn't fit in with your idea of what you want for your future. And so you're wondering if you need a car because you want to go to Arizona. You're not – are you –
Oh, no, no, I don't need a car to go to Arizona, no. No, I was just going to get my car and have the money just to just move on out. And just,
do you
just
have
start
a car now?
From there. Yes, uh-huh.
And would that car take you to Arizona? I missed something. Would that car bring you? I mean, you have to drive everything across country or halfway across country, right?
No, I was going to ship my stuff out. I was going
to
sit on
ship
my...
It to- But wouldn't the car? Would you ship the car too?
Well, the thing was, she might sell.
No, because the car is not worth taking. It's not.
That's what I'm saying.
It's not
so
worth.
She needs a car if she moves to Arizona.
So we have an idea that you might be able to sell your car, trade it in, and what you're going to have to do, Sherelle, is get enough funds to get a car and maybe move forward and go to Arizona. The idea that that there may be a very serious relationship awaiting you, and maybe your kids and having your own family and having a man that's totally available to his, to your, to just the idea of having babies with you and wanting to be a husband and father. That what is what we're looking at. And it may be that you have to travel closer to your mother in Arizona. That might be part of it, because that may be where the energy and the intensity of your future is going. So you have to make those bold steps. You have to take those bold steps. Does your mother want you out there?
She does. My nephews, they miss me. It's just my mom and sister out there. Everybody else is here in the city, but the family not as close as for when my grandmother passed away. The family got disconnected and everybody moved in. I'm just looking for a new change, because my city is real bad as well. The city is real bad, and it don't fit my spirit. I feel like I'm not safe enough here. If I want to get up at 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning to ride a bike or take a walk or go swimming, I should be able to do that without having to be scared and feel for my life of being here.
Kristen's going to say something, but the simplicity, get your car in order, get it sold, get a new car, move, and start to establish your life over in Arizona. You're going to be happier. Mm-hmm. We're predicting a man, the babies, the marriage, a nice life.
What kind of work do you do, Sherelle?
I work at a nursing home. It's like rehab, and I'm tired of that job, too. It's just so much drama. I didn't got into it with someone at work yesterday over something I don't even know about. But it's just this negative there, too. So that's
you want to get out of there. And does your boyfriend know you want to move?
Oh, yeah. He got a sense of it. I talked about it. And that's all he said. I can't wait till you move.
He says you can. I would definitely say
you
move.
You know, Sherelle,
you
got to be proactive. The thing that activates your future of happiness is going to take self-determination right now.
Right. Yeah,
so
exactly.
That's
what I'm having a hard time struggling with, pushing myself.
Well, you got to change that.
Attitude.
Yeah.
Change that.
I'm comfortable. I think what it is I'm comfortable. But I have to
be you're in routine, which you're used to. But if you want to make a change, break that.
You're comfortable, but you're not happy, so you're at war with yourself. Because you're not. Don't quit saying you're comfortable. Say, I'm not comfortable here. I need to change. I need to get past my thought process.
And she really did say about 4 or 5 sentences ago that she wasn't comfortable, that it's horrible in Detroit, and she wants to get out.
Yeah.
So you've got to align your thoughts with having the conflicting thoughts is not helping you. Comfortable, I'm comfortable, it's not comfortable.
Right, I'm very undecisive, and I'm having a hard time trying to struggle with that undecisive all the time.
You can go to a shrink and spend 3 years analyzing why you think this way, or you can just say, I'm going to stop it and move forward.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have a physicality that's aggressive and forward motion. Get out of there. Go to Arizona. Quit analyzing everything and take a chance. Get moving over there. Your job isn't that spectacular. You don't even like it.
Taking a chance. I mean, you're lucky to be in the position that you've got family that's welcoming you and that you feel that you can live. You're going to move in with your mom, right?
Yes, I was going to stay with her just for me to get back on my feet.
Yeah, so I mean,
but another thing, I'm just tired of living
for you, ready to do
it. I get tired of living with people too.
I'm sorry.
That's another thing. I just get tired of living with people. I just want my own space, own place.
Well, you will.
You can have that, but you're gonna have to. You don't have your own space now. So probably better you're in a situation with someone who wants you to come there rather than being in a situation with a guy who's saying, I don't care if you leave or stay. That's not good.
Right. You're not under any curse.
That makes sense.
You can do this. So,
thank you.
Sherelle, it's simple, but you got to do it. You got to get moving and do it. That's what's going to bring out what we think is a good vision for you.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sherelle, and let us know. Let us know that you're moving. Call. Okay.
Thank you both. I love both of y'all. Y'all have a good day.
Oh,
God bless.
Thank you. Thank you. You too. Bye.
Bye. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, so we were so deep in the lecture.
We were.
The 10 seconds.
Beginning to dissect intuition, that it's a gift. We all have it to some degree. We get to have intuition. The minute you start to dream, you're being intuitive. The minute you start to anticipate something, you're being intuitive. So we all get this. For most of us that have a functional brain, gets to be intuitive. And on one level, it's fun, and on another level, it's survival. So even as you develop going higher into the hierarchy of psychic development, psychics try to involve themselves in being functional, instrumental, instinctual, and also fun. I mean, there's a level of having fun with being a psychic, because you get to see the future, and maybe you get to change it or prepare for it.
Yeah, that's a completely different room than just, I mean, we're jumping from being intuitive to actually being able to see the future specifically and then changing the future, which is, you know.
Right. But, you know, you start off, the intuition is sort of like a baby kind of finding its 2 feet instead of crawling, and if you ever watched a baby, they kind of march. They lift their feet up real high, and then they fall down and laugh, and then they get back up again. What that is that's a good metaphor for intuition. You're starting to walk, and hopefully you can maybe develop your brain and your mind enough in terms of seeing your own future. That can be confusing because you think it's self-actualization, but there is a way, there is a pattern in the brain, a mystical code in the brain that will be very revealing to the extent that one can see their future. That can be astounding.
So I came across an article, Neil, I don't know if you know about this study, but it is, it's the U.S. Navy decided to do a research program. It's called, Enhancing Intuitive Decision-Making Through Implicit Learning. So they observed, many of the soldiers were coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan talking about their experience, anticipating like enemy fire or a situation that was negative. And so the Navy themselves decided to do this study. Which is, I don't know, I think it's probably already started because the article is from like 2012, but there's not a lot of information on the results of the study. So I think it's ongoing right now, but they're studying intuition in terms of development and what one's natural ability is.
Yeah.
In the,
well, you know, when you get phenomena of post-traumatic stress, it's post-traumatic stress, meaning after the fact, post. But the stress is derived from something that happened formerly. So you have this division between an experience that happened that now has leaped forward into the future and has involved the individual with stress. So it's like a person's in two worlds at once. They're dealing with a past world and the experience and impact of that, which is now presently giving them the experience of anxiety or stress or...
Well, it's not a stress study. It's on intuition. I mean...
But that's what intuition is. Intuition is based on past energy. When intuition is based on, first of all, the experience of just the idea of pain or pleasure. There's a pain-pleasure principle. And what happens is when we get into the biological spectrum of intuition, it can be a learned thing. The baby puts his hands on the stove and burns his hand and he cries and he learns not to put his hand on the stove. An animal in the forest picks up, chews on an insect, it tastes like horrible, it's acid, and it learns not to eat the insect. It's a learning thing. So when later, when the baby sees the stove, the baby thinks in its crude way, oh, I'm not going to touch that, it hurts. The animal thinks, oh, I'm not going to eat that insect, it tastes terrible.
Well,
and it becomes this idea that starts to give birth to the idea of intuition, which is having a feeling for something that is good or bad. It's a pain-pleasure principle that is rooted still to the biological experience of life itself, the reinforcement of what is good or what is bad, positive or negative reinforcement.
I understand what you're saying, and yes, I agree with that. But in terms of why this program was started, it was based on unexplained feelings, not based on an experience of negativity that caused intuition to be these people. It was based on an unexplained feeling of impending doom or danger that, you know, in multiple military personnel that caused the study to be funded. And so now what they're doing is studying how intuition works and how it can be developed in people, which I think is really revolutionary that the Army or the Navy, rather, military is investigating intuition on this level. I mean, we know that the military uses psychics, of course. We know that high military use psychics, but it's not publicized generally. This is a mainstream program that is...
Well, you know, I mean, the study is done by the military, but the military is structured in such a way that it gives birth to the premise of unexplained anxiety. The military is you have to protect yourself. There's enemies out there. They structure and condition the individual to be a war person, a person that has to look out for the enemy, a person that has to survive under adverse conditions. And so your buddy is your rifle. You're already being conditioned to respond to anxiety, to respond to a direct danger.
Exactly.
So what they're doing now is they're saying, okay, we do all this and we create good soldiers or whatever, but it comes at a cost too, because we've created a human being that is concerned with danger and protection. So you have danger and protection, which it elevates to a matter of stress, and soldiers and people in the military are always under stress because there's always an alert, there's always something they have to get to, and there's never hardly any leisure time. So when you're in peaceful time, you're doing drills, you're activating war scenes, you're doing all kinds of things. You're under a direct command of a sergeant or a drill sergeant, and so there's this constant energy, which is also remedied by a sense of camaraderie and good times and things like that. Buddy system, going out and drinking and just having that whole agenda.
Which we'll be doing after the show, about 10 a.m. Well, this article references a sergeant that saw something odd in a cafe in Iraq, a man that sparked his suspicion, and he ended up saving the lives of like 17 people because of his intuition. So, you know, I'm sure there are multiple cases that led to the creation of this program.
This is an interesting topic because intuition is now polluted by training. He's trained to be that way. And that training becomes part of the feed of the intuition, just like a cop. If a cop walks into they're trained to observe. They're trained.
You mean just by virtue of the traditional training of military?
So
any cop, right?
The question would be:
Was it training, or was he conditioned by
intuition, or is he conditioned by training? But because we have this idea, you see, that we're all intuitive, that's always going to be coupled with what our true life experience is. So if you're in the military, if you're in the police force, that zone itself has a training aspect of being aware and being intuitive, which now marries itself to the seed of intuition that every human being has.
Right. So let's talk about intuition because, you know, and the feelings that are associated with it, a gut or maybe your hair standing up on the back of your neck or whatever it may be, a chill. But then getting into being psychic, it's a totally different
it's
situation. Not at all similar. So I also thought it was interesting that they're setting intuition and doing this. You know, I'm sure it's quite costly. I think they listed the cost somewhere, but I don't recall it. Anyway, looking into intuition, developing intuition, training more on the basis of intuition when training the soldiers. However, you know, it's not, they're not doing a program on psychic energy,
no.
Which is a totally different ballgame.
They're doing a program on human behavior and right. Managing the more challenging aspects of human behavior. But when we get into the idea of feeling and intuition, there's two sides to the issue. There's the feeling of something happening that is about to happen. So the body starts to respond to the process of the mind anticipating.
Right. And then there's where your fear or, you know.
Well, there's where your anxiety comes.
Anxiety.
In.
Yeah.
Maybe induced by a little bit of fear.
Right.
And then what happens is that then the other side of the coin is the fear has already been established. The danger is now imminent and present. And the body has the same kind of reaction within the body chemistry. You have the chills, the hair on the end, the stomach going up, that you would in terms of an intuition. The only problem that presents a challenge to the difference is that the immediate danger will heighten the feeling of fear within the body and the feeling of something going, maybe happening before it happens, is a slow burn. It's got a slow burn. Then suddenly, and these are feelings too, then suddenly the danger occurs, and now the feelings intensify and they almost explode within the body. So think of it as a fuse of dynamite. It's burning. You're having feelings, you're having anxiety. There's the explosion, and now the feelings become intensified. Now, that's all rooted to an idea of intuition, but also actualization. What an individual needs to do is to try to present the intuition as an actuality. Is it really going to happen? And that becomes the challenging aspect of when intuition becomes psychic. An intuition is a feeling of something maybe happening. Psychic is it's happening.
Happening, right.
Even if it hasn't happened yet, it's going to happen. It will happen. So it's like an advanced mathematic course in the brain of intuition. Being psychic is calculus.
Right. But even with intuition, it's not only about predicting or feeling there might be an event. It's about a feeling of perceiving something about someone or that, you know, on that level, drawing psychic information is different from that intuitive.
That's
you know,
right.
We're not only talking about prediction here when we're talking about psychic information. We're talking about being able to be, you know, to be clairvoyant in terms of picking up information about people.
An intuition, you know, I have a feeling something bad's going to happen. Psychic has a distinction. You know, I'm psychic. You're going to meet somebody named Joe, and you're going to get married, and you're going to have 3 kids. There's no anxiety there. A psychic energy can reserve itself to just a calm, beautiful prediction. Intuition won't say that.
But on the same token, you can, you know, for instance, a caller might join us here on the radio show and, you know, you can say, well, I'm feeling like you're having problems in your life rather than there's a problem with a man and his name, you know, is Carl. That's not a prediction, but that's drawing information. That's psychic versus intuition.
Psychics
but it's
more, there's more
specificity, whether it's making a prediction or whether it's gleaning information from the subject.
Yeah.
That's not based on a prediction. So being psychic, you know, I just want to make clear.
Well, and then
that
there are triggers and there's a way to control those energies because in terms of this study, if one is having a sense of impending doom or something wrong, and they're suffering from this feeling that involves a strong sense of intuition, of anxiety, then there has to be ways that the individual doesn't feed into this and blows it up, you know, a molehill into a mountain.
Blows it up. Well, yeah,
and,
that's what happens.
That's what happens sometimes. I had a person who
literally
professed to be psychic. And they
Have I heard the story? This does not sound familiar, so I'm getting excited.
And they said, my mother, if my mother goes to into an operation, she's going to die, and she snapped her fingers and said like that.
Actually, that's not what happened. I'm gonna change the story a little bit, because what happened is the mother called you. That's what happened.
Okay.
The mother called and said, hey, because they were both clients. The mother said, she's telling me that you said that. That's what happened.
If she goes into
an operation, she's going to die. And then she admitted to this other client, the daughter, that she was the one coming up with this, and that you had validated it, which was not true. That was a lie.
And that was false. Now, unfortunately, we heard that the woman, the mother, passed on.
Many years later, I might add. And not in an operation.
And it had not to do, we don't know how she exactly passed on. It wasn't during that operation that occurred,
right?
And things were, you know,
yeah, I don't
okay.
think it was during an operation at all, in fact. But anyway,
I'm not sure. Well, I don't know. I don't want to misrepresent anything. Whoa. But as far as that isolated episode is, people, in my experience, a lot of people who profess to be psychic, which is fine, they profess to be psychics, but they'll say things that I don't connect to. I don't feel it. Someone said, oh, this. All the psychics are saying there's going to be an earthquake. This guy had a $2 million home. He goes, I'm going to sell my home. I'm going to move to, I think he said, Nevada. I said, what is the matter with you? There's not going to be an earthquake. Oh, yeah, there's going to be an earthquake. That's it. They all said it. You're 1 against 10. I said, listen, I don't care. It is not going to be an earthquake. I don't feel it. I don't get it. It's fine. They all sense that. They all feel it. They're all dramatic. There's not going to be one. There wasn't one. And he didn't sell his home. And he called me up and said, I'm glad I didn't sell my home. That was 25 years ago. Yeah.
Well, and there have been other earthquakes. But in terms of this.
If we look at this stress level, is California due for an earthquake? Yeah. I mean, everybody will say that inevitably we're going to have a big earthquake here. But the idea that that may be a prolonged anxiety or a concern factor, to respond to it with immediacy is somewhat foolish, because it may not happen for a while. It may not happen for 100 years. You want to prepare for it. So they talk about earthquake preparedness and all that, and making sure things are safe. But there's not a great migration. Can there be an earthquake? Yeah. We're not saying there can't be, and it can be devastating. But this is the idea of a panic mode of being a psychic, you know, the Martians are going to come and they're going to destroy the planet. We all need to really huddle together. Christ is coming back tomorrow. I mean, these are hyped up, convoluted, distorted senses of what the true intensity of being a psychic is, more or less an intuitive.
Right, and not only on a world level, but on a personal level. So in terms of people leading people in their lives and claiming to be psychic, when in fact there's really not that ability, to be bluntly honest.
Well,
it's important to have integrity and represent yourself accurately,
and
if you're trying to guide people in their life.
It's important to have a sense of self-control. Every individual has to have a device or mechanism or strategy in terms of controlling their own feelings.
Exactly.
Even if they are intuitive.
Because there may be psychic information that a person might have about a client that may not be appropriate to share with that person necessarily. You have to use discernment and,
discretion.
Point.
And strategy, maybe, because the idea, I mean, even in readings, what were you going to say?
No, go ahead, because I wanted to fit something in, but go ahead.
Oh, no.
No, I want you to finish your thought.
Well, you know, in my experience with people, when there's really horrible information coming in, it may be that it can be structured in such a way that can be changed. There can be impending doom, and there can be warnings about that. That's just strategy.
You mean in terms of a psychic data that comes in that might be negative, it can be shifted. But you have to be, if you're a psychic that's able to possibly shift the future, you've got to be very gifted. And that is not common. It's not common.
No.
It's not common. That's the reality. You know, there's so many people that claim to be psychics, and it's just,
Well,
take it
yeah.
with a grain of salt.
And it's a congregation of thinking, because, you know, we'll talk to God, we'll talk to the angels,
whatever.
They'll talk to spirits. We'll try to make this into a prayer session or an energy session. I mean, very few individuals that walk the planet really, I mean, ego-wise, they may be some very talented and powerful individuals, and they can change things and control things, and even on a psychic level. And there's nothing wrong with a psychic who is a humanitarian wanting to feel that way, that they can actually heal. I mean, that's
yeah,
wonderful.
It's wonderful.
That,
it
that
is.
It can happen. But you gotta be certain that the ego is not so inflated that it's delusional.
Right.
And that the claims that a person makes are actually false. So there's a grounding energy, which brings us back to being an intuitive or a psychic. Intuitives and psychics must be grounded. They must be secure in their first chakra foundation. They really need to know that, because the only way to gauge a correct feeling regarding intuition or thought, a feeling is not psychic.
Right.
Feelings is intuition. Psychic is a
thought,
a concrete thought.
And it really isn't associated with a feeling, which is something I also wanted to get into, which we're not going to have time to today. But how to start, you know, a lot of people that want to be psychics have very strong intuition, and how to shift into becoming psychic. When your basis has been feeling that things are going to happen, and how to start gathering psychic data when, you know, that hasn't been.
Oh, that's a fascinating journey.
So we can talk about that.
Because you're developing, you're taking intuition and developing it into the sheer aspect, concreteness of being psychic. That's a fascinating journey for anyone to take who is interested in the contours and the dimensions of the mind, reaching that place of concentrated effort and intensity where you actually can see the future.
And it
is
possible. That was funny.
Yeah. Synchronicity.
But it is possible. And that's the thing, you know, I don't mean to say, oh, well, no one's psychic. That's not true. But it takes a great deal of effort and dedication. If you don't come into the world with an extreme gift like you, I mean, you came in very psychic. If you don't come in like that, then it has to be developed and work just like any other pursuit.
And by God, I worked hard. Whatever talent
gifts you had,
had in this early childhood, it's taken years and years up to the age now of 66, still developing.
Still developing it. And someone who is intuitive is gifted. Often there is going to be a heightened ability become psychic, but it's going to still take a great deal of work. So we can talk about that on our next show, but we're out of time now. We are out of time. So we're on Friday, right? 9 a.m. Pacific.
We're in time. We're not out of time yet.
No.
Okay.
Okay. So thanks everyone for joining us today, and we'll talk to you on Friday. Bye-bye.